Scripture reading this morning will be from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do not do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it unto subjection, lest, when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified.
We still have many of our students out on their spring break, and we're looking forward to have more and more to come back for that. We want to remind you that we will have a student devotional tonight, and Chuck Hunt will be teaching that. It's going to be at the Andersons, and let's be reminding those that may be getting back this afternoon about that. Certainly good to see all that are here this morning. For those of you who know my son Nathan, probably follow his Facebook page, you've probably noticed that in the last year and a half, he's traveled the world extensively. He works for Delta, and if because of that, he can pretty well fly free anywhere. He worshiped the Lord just in the last few hours in Beijing, China. And I'm always anxious when he goes to different places to find out about what his experience was like. What were brethren like there? What was the worship service like? And, of course, sometimes whether or not there was a translator also makes a difference as you try to. But the fascinating thing about Nathan, who's been, you know, Argentina, Australia, he's been to England, to Europe, to Italy, and I've left Japan. There are those in every place on this globe doing exactly what we've done this morning, and that is to remember the Lord's body, to sing songs, to pray to God, to hear a lesson from God's Word. We are here today to serve God, and we have directions given about how we do that. I want to talk with you this morning about the passage that was capably read to us by Carter on the Christian's race this morning. I guess if you know Rouse's, you know that sometimes we can be competitive, at least on my side of the family. I've always enjoyed sports, and I sometimes one of my weaknesses is if we're into something, I may make it into a competition, and maybe sometimes I'll pursue that competition maybe a little stronger than I ought to. Hopefully maturity has set in some areas. But we talk about competition, races. That's a very interesting idea in Scripture, and I want to take that figure and talk about it this morning. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1, Paul is talking to Timothy. And we talk about being a Christian. It's important. You know, we recently saw some wonderful responses to the gospel. It's been very encouraging to see both college and our young people that have taken that first step of baptism. And baptism is a first step in a way of life. But baptism is a first step. It is the beginning. Timothy was told this in 1 Timothy 2:1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Now notice the illustrations of the Christian life. Verse 3, "You must therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Look at verse 4. "No one entangled in warfare entangles himself with the affair of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Here's the idea of a Christian being a soldier, a Christian following a commander. Verse 5, here's race we have, competition. "And also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops." Here we have the Christian as a soldier, as a farmer, as an athlete. You know, I particularly appreciate the idea of being an athlete. If you want to develop yourselves in athletics, can I say to you today, most of you, if you decided that you want to run a marathon, that you won't go out the next day and do that. I'll just tell you, don't try that. Don't do that, because it's not going to work. What you generally find, it has similarities to the farmer. James 5 talks about how the farmer's got to till the ground. It's got a plan. It's got a way. There's a process here. So Christian, if there are those who have not yet obeyed the gospel, all you're doing is taking the first step. You don't wait till you become a strong Christian to become a Christian. What you do is you trust God, who He is, and you're willing to take that step of faith and say, Lord, work with me. It could be maybe the idea here in this context of deciding to compete, and now there's going to be training. Now there's going to be work that's done. The work follows the commitment. You don't wait till you become so strong before you obey the gospel. But when you talk about these figures, soldiers got to endure hardship, and there's the endurance of the runner. You know, foot races have been something that I particularly enjoyed. And there's no surprise, I guess, as dad's involved with something. You see that with our parents and children as well. You know, the dad's got an interest. You cheerfully see at least the sons, you know, follow after the dad in that interest. I've always enjoyed running races. I'll have to tell you, back years ago, you know why I started running? Because I couldn't get my weight off. I can remember my next-door neighbor, Gary Carter. We had a big old hill going one direction of the road, and he goes, you know, you ought to run that hill, son. You know, I know what he was saying. You need to lose weight, you know. And I thought about it, and, you know, I thought in my mind, you know, one day I'm going to run that hill. And it took several days. I finally got so sick of being overweight. And there's a lot of things I tried to change in my life. I decided to start running. And I'll never forget the first time I decided to run. I went a mile. And when I got in, I still remember this vividly. I thought I was going to die. I mean, I just sweating, I'm breathing, you know. And of course, I can still remember, too, when I lay down, I couldn't see my feet because my belly, because it's so big. And, you know, I wanted to get that thing off. But you know what? I kept doing that. It's interesting. When I first started running, I started memorizing scripture too, by the way. I'd recommend this to you. I would take a passage and memorize it, and then on the run try to think about it. Of course, my initial runs, I was in such oxygen debt, I was going, I'm gonna die, let me get home. But eventually that changed. And I'll never forget going to the shoe store in Dothan, Alabama to buy my first pair of running shoes. Hey, you know, back in my days, running shoes were a novelty. You know, I was running in tennis shoes. And I remember going in there, and I was kind of embarrassed, and I was thinking, I really thought I was boasting. You know, one day I'm going to run and finish a 10K race. That's 6 miles, and I remember his little sheep. I thought I was boasting. Of course, he had a picture of himself finishing a marathon, you know, on the wall there. That's 26 miles, you know. But I started that training. And as I trained, I started taking other steps. I had to develop endurance. The Christian life is likened to a runner. Now let's talk about races. I remember my first race that I ran. I remember that vividly. It was the Vulcan Run in Birmingham. They still have it, a 10K. I can remember, I didn't know what I was doing. It was a cold day, so I wore long pants and pants under that. I had sweatshirt on. I was going to run. And I learned, oh, man, you think it's cold. And once you start running the race, you know, I was frying, man. It was like I was in a cooker. You know, I did not know how to run the race. But I finished that first race. I'll remember that. But in order to run the Vulcan Run, I needed to have an entry form. And there was a course. And there were certain things you do and didn't do. I remember back in those days, it was back in those years, I think one of the Boston Marathon runners, that woman won the race, and they found out that she took a bus at a certain street and finished. I think it was Rosie Ruiz or somebody like that, some funny name. And she ended up was given the trophy and then taken back because she took a bus. Now, I could win races like that. 1 Corinthians 9:24, I read in your hearing, it says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way as you may obtain it. In the 2 Timothy passage we've read, 2 Timothy 2:5, it says, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, the Christian race is not something like a one-time event. It's our life. And so the analogy here is for the race is that there's a path, there are rules, there is endurance, and you finish. And you finish and win. By the way, in this case, you're a winner if you finish. You get the reward. The prize is great. It is outstanding. It's interesting as we talk about the Christian race, though. We're told ahead of time that the race will be difficult. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10, Paul says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Now, you run the Christian race, it's hard, it's difficult. Now, all I have to tell you is the guy, you tell me the race is difficult, and I want to run it even more. Now, I don't know, maybe not everyone's like that, but I'm seeing some of these races today I never dreamed of. The Tough Mudder and stuff like that, where they will shock you and they'll put you through things I can't imagine, you know. But as a guy, you know, yeah, the challenge, yeah, I want to take that on. I'll never forget my first marathon that I ran. I had no clue. I had no clue how to run a marathon. And I would go and run this super hilly course near my house. I mean, super hilly, and I trained for that a little bit. Thought that would help me. It actually created more injuries than help. But I remember that first marathon. It was tough. A later marathon that I ran, David Hartzell and I were actually trained together to run the race, and David got injured and he couldn't finish it, but I'll never forget that race. You're talking about tough. I didn't know how to drink fluid in the race, and I got nauseated, and I'm going to tell you, it was about mile 22. It was ugly. I had basically fallen over on the side of the road, and I was sitting there just staring up in the sky, and everybody running by saw my pitiful condition and said, "Don't finish, don't finish." And so I'm slaying there, you know, and I'm thinking on the side of the road. When I get back to Birmingham, what are people going to ask me? They're going to ask me what my time was? No. They're going to ask me, "Did you finish?" And so I got up and finished, and David told me later, he says, "Now, I was going to carry you across that finish line. One of us was going to finish." You know, and he jogged with me the last few miles, sawing my pitiful condition, but it was a tough race. David took a video of me at 1.8 miles in the race, and I was coming by, and he goes, "Hey, man, you're looking good, you're looking good." And as after I went by, you hear him on the video, "Man, he looks rough." And so again, you know, you might understand what that may mean when people cheer you on in your events. But one thing I learned is that racing is painful, and it takes effort. But I don't know, you know, is this is me. I guess it's the guy in me. Yeah, let's have a challenge. Yeah, let's not have it easy. Yeah, let it be painful. Luke 14 and verse 28, maybe that's a carnal way of thinking there, but I think biblically there is. Up front, you're going to go to heaven, it's going to cost you. It says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation, he was not able to finish it. All who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" The Christian race is hard. But up front, okay, I'll take this race on. By the way, guess who encourages you? God encourages you, Jude 24. "Now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and present you spotless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." I'm going to tell you something. In the Christian race, you're going to stumble. In the Christian race, there are going to be times you disappoint yourself. In the Christian race, there are going to be times you do stupid things. But you get back up, and you've got those cheering you on. Hebrews 11, you've got the whole company of faith that's cheering you on. We need to know that. It's a hard race. And again, when we start the race, when one is baptized into Christ, I love the way that Romans 6 puts it. It says, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." There was something exciting about the starting line. Now, as I ran enough races, there was also something very just scary about it too. I remember my first marathon. Drove the course the day before, and I can remember in the pit of my stomach going, Am I crazy? And by the way, when you got to mile 21, 22 in a race like that, you start saying to yourself, I'm crazy. I'll never do this again. I mean, that's very common when you, but then you finish it and you're glad and you're ready to run another race. But there's pain. You know, one of the things that we need to understand as we take on the Christian race is that we're going to have to make sacrifices in order to finish. Hebrews 12:1. I will tell you now, if you're going to run a physical race, you got to think about weight. And I even got a formula, by the way, if you chest mad on this, if you're running a race, every pound you lose in preparing for a race will give you 2 seconds per mile average faster. And so if I lose 30 pounds, I'll gain a whole minute of time. Now, you may say that's crazy. I found that true over the years. That's just one of my formulas. And, you know, if you want to run fast, you got to get the weight off. By the way, it's a whole lot more fun when you don't have the weight on. I'll just tell you that. Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's fascinating. As you get really into a sport like this, you even worry about how much your shoes weigh. I'm not making that up. I remember I used to have racing flats. When I was racing the 10Ks, I had these really lightweight shoes. And when I was really wanting to run fast, I brought out my racing flats, you know. And people, you know, the weight, what you carry around with you is what you know. But in this passage here, the weight here is sin. Here in this passage is very similar to the passage we read in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. He says, but I discipline my body and bring it in subjection when I have preached to others also that I myself should be disqualified. You know, I remember seeing a race once. I've seen some interesting things in races. I mean, I started running at the end of the running boom. This was the late 70s. And there was one fella, I'm going to tell you, he was pretty good. And I guess he just liked to run. I don't know if his name was Forrest Gump or not. But he ran races in full blue jeans and a long sleeve shirt. I'm not making this up. And he'd be in those races. I think he did it psychologically. So here you are, you're running, and somebody in blue jeans and a long sleeve shirt passes you. You kind of think, oh, I can't let this happen, you know. You try to go. But I've seen some interesting people dressed in races. Now, there's some races where people wear costumes, I understand. But I saw one time where a guy decided to have a raincoat and a doctor's bag he carried with him. Maybe he was afraid it was going to rain. I don't know. But that's not, you know, that's not the way you really want to run a race. You need to be able to focus. And here's the weight we face. Let's get down to some serious things. The weight that we face is sin. And the thing that really hurts the Christian race is sin. And I really want to talk to our young people. You know, we've seen the big first steps being taken to be a Christian. And the greatest disappointment that you're going to face as a young person is yourself. You're wanting to serve God. You want to go to heaven. I remember when I first was baptized, I was so excited, you know. And I just wanted to be the example, and I wanted to be encouragement. But then I had to face me, and I fell short. I committed sin. Brethren, we're going to face those things. Young people, just because you have a moment of sin doesn't mean you're a hypocrite. Because you are struggling in relationships and other things doesn't mean you quit the race. What you do, you need to understand that it's very interesting. Can I look at Romans 12:1 one more time, or at least Hebrews 12:1? It says, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. I can remember when I was in high school, I didn't think anything about drinking or getting drunk. I didn't do that often, but I went out. I remember one night of my senior year, I was going to go out and get drunk, and I did. And that's what everybody did. There was peer pressure. Now, later, it scared me, where I saw where some of my friends went, and I decided I didn't want to go down that path. That was even before I became a Christian. But we need to understand that as we run the race, there are going to be times we stumble and we fall. That's a great weight. 1 Peter 4 and verse 1. It says, for we've spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regards to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. As we face the great weight we face is sin, and there are going to be people who criticize us. And I'll tell you one thing, if you're a runner, and I remember I used to aggravate people. I know I was arrogant. But there are times, particularly when you get into running, you know, you talk with other runners. And if you're not a runner, you know, it's almost like, wow, okay, these guys are, you know, people, non-runners think they're crazy. There was a book that Yvette had once. It's one of my favorite books. It's an old book. It's called The Complete Book of Non-Running. You know, back in my days, Jim Fix put a book on The Complete Book of Running. It was a bestseller, and everybody had it. The Complete Book of Non-Running was how to sit without exercising. You know, it's kind of like the people today that will go on their cars, and they'll put the 0.0, you know, on the back, you know. They were proud non-runners. And, you know, sometimes because you're excited about something, you know, you can look down on others, and you they don't share your excitement or craziness. People told me I was crazy all the time, and I like that, you know. But there's something about your associates. Your associates will have much influence on the kind of race that you run. Sin, by its very nature, is distracting. And one of the very important things that you need to do, if we talk about the Christian race, the idea of having a proper race is the idea of having a good conscience. There's great power in a good conscience. So as I run the Christian race, I want to know I'm forgiven. As I run the Christian race, well, I know these things are wrong and I may stumble, but I'm going to repent and I'm going to get up. I can do it. I'm going to have integrity. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5 says, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. In 1 Peter 3:16, he says, having a good conscience, that they may defame you as evildoers. Those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. You know, you got to finish the race. And I will tell you, there's 100 ways. I'll tell you, there were times. There's a few races I've quit. Not many, but a few. No, almost always an injury. I don't think I quit just because I got tired. But when you're running and you're hurting, and you start questioning yourself, is it worth it? You start running and you start seeing the whole world going, you're crazy. And you start thinking, is it worth it? As you're going through the Christian race and you're giving up the drinking and you're giving up the immorality and you're giving up the bad language and you're the oddball. And people will pull back from you for it. You start thinking, is it worth it? And that's where you have that focus of knowing where you're going, knowing the finish line. You know, it's interesting. If we don't have that commitment, you may start a race, but not you won't finish it. Matthew 13:22 talks about people who responded to the word. There were four different kinds of souls. There were four different kinds of responses. In one soul, the third one, in Matthew 13:22, it says, but he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitful of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Following in the outline, Roman numeral 3, one more time, we must never quit. That's why I had to finish that marathon. Sure enough, when I came back, people asked, did you finish? I finished. By the way, ended up being the fastest race I ever ran. For years, as far as a marathon goes, I didn't run many more after that. But in Hebrews 10:35, here the Bible talks about the Christian race. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Verse 37. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You know, one of the things that you talk about endurance and consistency, you've got to learn how to run a pace. Now, I'll tell you, the beginning runner, I don't care how much you talk to them about it, particularly if you're dealing with children. If they've got a 2-mile race, you know what happens, particularly when we're dealing with middle schoolers. They'll all go off in a sprint the first 400 yards, and they run as fast as they can, and then they drop out. You know, they can't finish it. As an old guy, by the way, when I was an old guy, this was when I was 26 years old. I was an old guy compared to some high schoolers. I'd run a few races, and they thought it was pretty neat that as an old guy that I could compete, do something athletically, and they challenged me to a race. They were football players, and they challenged me to a race. And I smiled. I said, "Can I pick the course?" And so I pick a three-mile course on hills, you know, and they're used to doing sprints. And I'll never forget it. We went out. One was a fullback, and the other was a quarterback for the team. And by the way, the fullback sometimes will visit our services. You haven't, but anyway, he's a good friend of mine. But I'll never forget. We started going out, and they went out fast. One of them started running backwards, laughing at me at my slow pace. Well, it took about a mile. Next thing you know, they started looking bad and kind of felt, and I just took off and left them. And matter of fact, the boy's mother, when I came back, said, "Where's Buddy?" He said, "Well, you may need to go down the road to find him. He's down there somewhere." They ran a race, and they didn't know how to pace it. Not that I was any smart or anything like that, but I had experience at that. The Christian race is that way. You've got to understand, you don't just go out like a comet. You know, you've heard of the story, the tortoise and the hare. It's the one, the consistency. Let me tell you about the Christian race. You need to let the Lord help you, give you wisdom. You see, so much when he deals with athletics is that you need to understand there is a pace to take. There is a training pace. There is a process in which you build. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." You know, if we run the Christian life, you know what kills us? Sin. You know what kills us? Worry. You know what kills us is we take on things we don't need to take on. We need wisdom of how to run the race. I guess it doesn't seem like that long ago, but I guess it's that long ago now. Time moves on. It was around year 2000, I guess 14 years ago, I ran my last marathon. And I ran that marathon different than any race I'd ever run in my life. There had been a former Olympic runner that came up with a system that's called the Galloway Method, that if you're not going to put in 60 to 80 miles training a week, which you have to run a marathon, if you're going to not put in that kind of miles and you want to run a marathon, there's an alternative way to do it. And what you do is you break the marathon up into segments. And what I would do by this system, I would run 9 minutes and walk one. And then I would do it over again. Every time my watch said nine, I walked a minute. Now, people thought I was crazy. You know, if you've been the big avid runner, walking is forbidden. But in this case, I was thinking of the whole race. And I'll never forget that race. Best race of my life. I would do that, and people would laugh at me. I remember the first time I walked, there were some spectators, "Boy, it's going to be a long race if you're walking now." But I kept doing that. I was running intervals. And all I had to do in the race, rather than think about the finish line, I was just looking for the next time my watch said nine. That's all I had to wait. And I rested. I was able to drink fluid and ended up running the fastest race of my life. There I was in my 40s. I beat my time that I ran in my 20s. But I was thinking about that. There was wisdom here. In the Christian life, likewise, brethren, sometimes we try to do it all at once. We try to somehow just go out like in this blaze of glory, and we need to understand there's a process of learning, there's a process of Lord helping you, giving you wisdom, because in races, again, in athletics, sometimes there's wisdom that doesn't feel right. That didn't feel right walking. But it ended up, in my case, it being the right thing to do. Let the Lord train you, teach you, to give you a wise pace. There's a poem in the outline, because "Slow me down, Lord. Slow me down, Lord. Ease the pounding of my heart and the quietening of my mind. Steady my hurried pace with a vision of eternal reach of time. Give me amid the confusion of the day and calmness of the everlasting hills. Break the tension of my nerves and muscles with the soothing music of the singing streams that live in my memory. Teach me the art of taking minute vacations, of slowing down to look at a flower, to chat with a friend, to pet a dog, to smile at a child, to read a few lines from a good book. Slow me down, Lord, and inspire me to send my roots deep into soil of life's enduring values, that I may grow toward my greater destiny. Remind me each day that the race is not always through the swift, that there is more to life than increasing its speed. Let me look upward to the towering oak and know that it grew well and strong because it grew slowly and well. Last point. Well, at least second last point. We need the support of others. You know, you go back to Hebrews 12:1, talking about the race one more time. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, that cloud of witnesses. You know, I kind of miss my children being in competition. Parents, there's going to come time, there's going to be no more competitions. They're going to grow older. They're going to get old. And I always, you know, sports was kind of my thing. My dad used to coach ball with me, and I certainly enjoyed our children playing soccer and various things. And, you know, particularly in races, my boys knew when I was there. I'd shout that cheer from the field, and they would pick up their pace. I got to the point in some of their races, in the cross-country races, I would pick courses where I'd run across different places so I could cheer them on. I think the cheering of the crowd makes a difference. In the Christian race, you're not alone. You have people who cross the finish line ahead of you. I think that's what Hebrews 12 is talking about. We need to see that we've got brothers and sisters here that are saying you can make it. I pray this congregation is going to be the kind of congregation that regardless of where you find yourself, you've committed sin and you've fallen and you get back up, we'll be the ones, kind of like my friend David, we're going to carry you across the finish if we need to. You're going to keep going. Or the one who's newly baptized into Christ, welcome to the family. Welcome to the race. I pray that we'll always be a group that will encourage. You're going to have people discourage you. In Hebrews 12:3, it says, talking about this race, it says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin. There are going to be people that discourage us. And sometimes, brethren, I say this freely. I know some people have gotten upset because I sometimes will tell new Christians that the people who encourage you the most will be Christians and the people who will discourage you the most will be Christians. I mean, that's really going to be true. And there are going to be times as you're running the race, there will be those in the body of Christ, maybe because they're on their way out, or maybe they're just not thinking. But they can be the harsh and fair critic. In 2 Thessalonians 3:2, Paul says, he talks about, you know, verse 1, it says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Hebrews 10:23. What should this assembly be like? What should our getting together be like? What should our relationship be like? We're going to talk about the race. We're going to talk about the rules. We're going to talk about discipline. We're going to talk about, we're going to try to get the weight off. We're not going to just kind of just haphazardly just walk a race. No, we're going to take a race seriously. But we've got a support crew here. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In every race marathon that I ran, you know, I always had a support crew. I had somebody there that would help encourage me, and it encouraged me to know somebody was there. It encouraged me that there'd be somebody cheering me on. I'm hoping this congregation will be a place where you make good relationships. And you know there will be those that will encourage you. Roman numeral 5, last point this morning. We need to concentrate on the finish. There's nothing like the finish line. It's even in my training runs, you know, I think about the finish line. Oh, I want the finish. And it's neat. You know, I used to tell Stephen, I used to take him for a drum lesson years ago, and we would go before the drum lesson. I'd go to the Sanford's track where the Birmingham Track Club would have a speed workout, and I'd go run. And sometimes Stephen would run with me, sometimes he didn't. I used to tell Stephen, I says, now if you run, your food will taste better. And you know what? If you go out for a run or an exercise, and then you finish that, and you go eat, your food does taste better. I really do believe that. There's something about running and finishing, the joy of the finish. Hebrews 12:2. We've been reading, verse 2 talks about this race. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'll tell you, I always want to know where the finish line was. You know what I can do today? They've got these GPS watches, and it's neat because you kind of know when the race is about to finish. I remember some races I ran, particularly back in Coleman years ago, where they would do these races. They call it a 10K, and it'd be like 7 miles long. And there you are. Where's the finish? You know, it kind of blows your mind when you don't know where the finish is. But there's something about the finish line. And there's something about finishing, looking back and said, I did it. You know, as I ran races, again, it sounds technical, but you know, when you run a long race, you want to run as few steps as possible. And you know what I did? And you may not be familiar with this, but I would run the tangents. I would be running these races, and what I would do is I would see as far ahead as I could of where they're turning, and so I would angle a direct line toward the tangent. And if you do that in a marathon, you could run several hundred yards shorter in a race just by running the tangents. Now, of course, there's traffic controls and cops. Sometimes they don't want you to do that. Like, they've got traffic coming. They don't want you running the traffic. And sometimes I did that anyway. But there was, you know, there's this mentality, run the shortest you can so you can finish. Running a straight race, the Bible says you look to Jesus. You know, if you want to run, if you got a field, you probably heard stories of this where the boys were told to try to walk in a straight line, and if they tried to look down, they would end up having a curved line. But if they looked at a point and they ran that race, there would be a straight line. Why do I run the Christian race? Is that one day I want to see my Lord. I want to cross the ultimate finish line and be able to meet those others who crossed the race ahead of me. You know, there will be times that courage will be challenged. There will be times I do dumb things. One last illustration, and then we'll give the lesson. I'll never forget in my first marathon, it's just embarrassing to even admit I did this. I knew that I had an issue with my feet and the structure of my feet, and so I went and got some orthotics. And the orthotics were not comfortable. And so what I did, I got me some strappy tape or something, and I taped those things to my feet. Now let me tell you what happens when you put tape around your feet, top and bottom, and put orthotics on it. You're going to have blisters like you've never imagined. I'll never forget finishing that race and my feet were swollen and they would be cut and everything. I was stupid. But you know what? Even the mistakes that I made, I finished that race. And there's something about the finish line. In Revelation 21:2, here's the picture of the finish line for us. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. I hope the lesson's been encouraging you today. We all compete in some form. Let us never forget the race that is before us, the provisions, the crowd, the encouragement, the rules, and certainly the provisions that our God gives us. We've seen some obey the gospel recently. Are you ready to begin the race? We'd love for you to join us. You got support. We got God's help. Can we assist you in taking that stand? We'd love to encourage you in any way we can if you come as we stand and sing.